bless each and every one tonight. I give us all a warm welcome. End our service in the name of the Lord. Let us just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Praise God. Loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for the wonderful man of Calvary who died to set us free. Lord, we know tonight if it had not been for a place called Calvary and a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. But we thank thee this evening for the man of Calvary and the place, the man called Jesus and the place called Calvary. And we thank thee that, Lord, for sin did abound, grace did much more abound. We thank you for the imputation of righteousness, that, Lord, you don't hold our sin against us, but you've washed us and you've cleansed us and you've called us your own. Father, I pray that you'll bless your word to our hearts tonight and bless the context of your word tonight. And Father, I take the blessed Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name, and I thank you, undertake for me. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Maybe seated just for a moment. We're going to turn to John 15, but just to give you a quick report from last week from Scotland. I forgot about it myself. You know, when you're preaching so much and, you know, different things, you don't remember it all the time. But I want to thank everyone for your prayers last week. I had two good meetings in Scotland, and we had a communion service on the Saturday night, and then we had a morning service, and the people's doing well, and they send their greetings to the church here, and they need our prayers. They still haven't got a pastor, and there's still a good number of people there, similar to what's here, maybe I would say, in number wise, and just pray for the Lord to bless them. There was a good response Sunday. A lot of people responded for the Lord in the Sunday service, and a lot of people came to me afterwards to say that they really enjoyed the word of God, that it had touched them and encouraged them. And I don't think there was any unsaved there that I knew of, but I believe the believers were encouraged, and I tried to encourage them to love each other and not to war against each other. Amen. And the Bible says where there's confusion, there's every evil work. And it's the devil that wants to get in, and he wants people striving against each other. That's the devil. And we just thank God for the Holy Spirit and that he leads us. But you know, I will say this, I think I mentioned Wednesday. Before I went, I had a really tremendous dream on what I believe the Lord wanted me to preach in Scotland. And I was wondering what I'd preach. And you know, you can, if you know there's things happening in a church, you could go thinking to yourself, well, I'll fix it up. But you can't do that. It's only the Holy Spirit fixes anything up. So I just yielded myself to the Lord and I prayed. And the Lord gave me a dream. And one of the things in the dream was that I was just to keep praying. And just keep praying. And then the Lord spoke to me what to preach. The voice spoke to me in the dream. Brother John was in that dream as well. And he was giving me a word in this dream. And the word was the same as what this voice had said, what to preach. So that's just what I went with that. And the Lord gave me a good message before I went. And I knew I had a message from the Lord. And I might share some of it tonight. I feel maybe to share some of these things here tonight as well. And so you just keep praying for the people in Scotland. And also, Al O'Connor, I'm not sure if it's Philippines or India. I'm not sure. The Philippines. Alan's in the Philippines and he's having powerful meetings. And he sent me a lot of photographs. There's people coming up in the prayer line and they've been healed. People's getting saved. And you know, I just thank the Lord for it. All came with me in 2010 till Kenya, 2010. And after a couple of days, we were in a hotel. You couldn't really call it a hotel, but it was a hotel over there anyhow. But it's rough in some of the places, you know. And I said, all this is missionary work. And we're not here for comfort, we're here for God's work. And he was going to go home. In the middle of the week, he was going to go home, and I encouraged him to stay. And I'll tell you, he's been away a lot since that. He took off. After 2010, he's just took off. He's gone all the time. His wife's away with him. They don't have any family, so he's quite free. God's maybe made him like that so that he can do that, you know. He's no ties like other people, so he can just go. And you know, the Bible says, him that's led of the Spirit's like the wind. You can't tell whether he cometh or whether he goeth. Here and he's gone. That's Alan. And you know, one of the trips we were on, and I told Alan this. You know, did you ever see an advert years ago for advertising Ready Brick? How many ever saw that advert? And the wee boys went to school and there was a glow run on this advert. Well, I looked at Alan in Kenya, I just seen a glow run. And I said, Alan, I see a glow right around you. God's called you. And he just really believed that as a confirmation. Somebody else had given the same word from America. And he's just went forward ever since, you know. And Alan's a real character, you know, he is a character. But God's using him. And he has to be himself. He can't be nobody else. And the Lord's just using him. And he's praying for people that are getting healed. And we just thank the Lord for it. Praise God. So I want to thank you for your prayers. And I was meant to be going to Dublin next weekend, but it's the weekend after now. So it's not next weekend, but it's the last weekend in this month. So the last weekend in this month, don't forget, we're lifting an offering for Brother John's trip to Australia. We'll lift an offering at the end of this month. We'll lift an offering at the end of next month. I know how much it costs. It takes money to go. And, you know, even though you're getting your flight paid, you need money when you're there for different things. You don't know what can happen. You know, when I was coming back from Scotland, here's an example. Scotland's not far away. Sure it's not. But I was coming back from Scotland and I had £5 in my wallet. Now, I had cards with me. But I had £5 cash in my wallet. And the brothers gave me a little gift in an envelope. And I had it with me. Cash in this envelope they'd give me when I left Scotland. So I get to the airport. I go to the desk with my print off from the computer to come home on the 5th. And the lady says, have you a ticket to get home with? I said, that's it. She says, you'll not be getting home with that for another month. I says, what do you mean? She says, that's the 5th of March. That's booked. So it's a month later than the night. Tonight. So I says, I had to book another ticket. So thankfully the cash they gave me was enough. £125. Can you imagine? To get a ticket from Scotland, you could almost jump over Salmon. Somebody here swimming once. Some get in at Port Royce and the lifeguard tried to get him, he near swum back over. He wanted to leave, but he's, praise God, he's still here. But you know, it's a short flight, but it's expensive. And I had the money, and I just thank the Lord, praise God. And the brothers did reimburse me, praise God. I wouldn't have cared, you know, I just was glad to go for the Lord's work. So pray for all these meetings. Also, I'm going back to Scotland to Brian Locks next month on the 12th. So pray for these meetings and that God will just reach somebody. And you know, I have so many people come to me in services, you know. One of the first times I went to Brian Locks, we baptized a man. And he's going to Ron's meetings ever since. He was there with his family. He's still going. We baptized him in Loch Lomond, was it? I don't know which loch. It must have been Loch, but I'll tell you what. It told him. Pick the day and then put the ice on top. He almost needed a pick to get in the water. And he was adamant he had to be baptized. Brian says, will you give me a hand to baptize him? Boy, I'll tell you what. He shouted, but it was the cold, I think. It was freezing. You know, it's cold. It's cold here. It's cold in Scotland. But thank God he's gone on with the Lord anyhow. Praise God. So you keep praying for all these meetings. Also, so Brother John goes to Australia. It's a good opportunity to go out to Australia. When Brian does his conventions, you know, sometimes people come that's not seen. And family members, different things. There's quite a lot of people come sometimes. It's a real opportunity for people to hear the gospel of Christ. And it's a wonderful opportunity to do that. Then August time, we're thinking of having Brother Brian over in August. We're going to have special meetings. I want us to have Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday night, two meetings on Sunday. You pray about it. I think maybe August the best time. July, most people's away. Who's at home in August? Put your hand up. Praise God. And most everybody's at home in August then. Praise God. Well, then we'll maybe try and work at Brother Mark for August. Praise God. So let's just be praying for all these meetings. And let's turn now to, you can be seated, till John 15, verse 12. And let me just read from verse 12 down the night of John chapter 15. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends if ye do so whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So he's not asking you, this is a commandment. Verse 18. If the world hate you, ye know it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would have loved his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that heareth me heareth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen and heareth both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law. And remember, he says, in their law. They heareth me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of the church. No. The organization. No. Me. Christ. No. The Father. Glory to God. The Lord bless his word. Praise God. In this chapter here alone, the Lord Jesus Christ uses this personal pronoun, I, 11 times. 11 times in chapter 15 is the word I. Now we heard this morning how that it's Christ, and when the early church, the Spirit came on them, it led them to preach Christ. Yes. It's all Christ. It's nothing else. It's not any other name. It's not any organization. It's no other man. It's Christ. Yes. And here the word I is mentioned 11 times alone in this one chapter. Yes. If the Lord mentions it so many times, we need to preach Him.
Amen. Yes.
That's who we need to preach. And that's scriptural. Amen. Because He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, in each case, the chief importance of the word spoken lie in the character of him who speaks. And the character of him who speaks is the Lord. So these words are very important. In these impressive eyes of there's the thought of grace, first of all. And I'm going to take seven things from this chapter tonight. I'm taking seven things. Grace. I have loved you. That's grace. You never loved the Lord. The Lord loved you. He loved you ever before you knew it. Ever before you realized it. When you were in the world. When you were lost. When you were in Ephesians 2. Aliens thrown away from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope. Having no guide. Led by the prince of the power of the earth. All of us had a conversation. It says amongst them. Save us, and he knew he would deliver us.
And Jesus calls you His friend tonight. You're the friend of the Lord. Because you're the friend of the Lord, you're in a union. And because you're in a union, you're an heir with God, and you're joined to hers with Jesus Christ. You're in standing tonight. You're in a place of standing. You have a great brother called Jesus. And you can pray, and He'll answer you, for He is your high priest that can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. I have loved you, who sometimes were far off and are made nigh, you who were once in ignorance of me and walked according to the course of this world. Ephesians chapter 2, I've quoted it. I won't read it for time's sake. You can read it. I have chosen you. I have loved you with a love that can only be compared with the love wherewith the Father loved me in verse 9. And the love wherewith the Father loved Jesus, that's the love He loves you with. I have loved you. This is God's love. Now when I talked about this love, the Lord spoke to me specifically about this love. This is not a fleshly love that looks at something and craves it and wants it after a fleshly manner. This is a deeper love. This is a love that put Jesus on the cross. This love, Jesus Christ loved you so much. God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. Die on the cross for you. Bleed on the cross for you. Wounded for you. Died for you on the cross because He loved you so much. I have loved you. These are the words of the Lord. Now my text tonight is I and you. The I being the Lord and you, me and you. I have loved you. Praise God. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And the Lord was rich, but yet became poor. He stepped into your shoes. He stepped into my shoes. He took your place. He took my place. We were hell bound. We deserved hell. But Jesus loved us, and we escaped hell. And not only did we're not floating in limbo land, but the Bible says He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're in heavenly places tonight. We don't have to do anything to make it happen, because the presence of the Lord is promised to be with us. We're in heavenly places, and we can ask and we can receive from the Lord. Because I have loved you. These are the words of the Lord. Also He says here in verse 19, and this speaks to us about separation, I have chosen you out of the world. The Lord has loved you when you're in the world, and He chose you out of the world. And He chose you. You can't say who's going to come, but the Lord chose you. Let me put it to you like this. I mentioned this to Brother Gary the other morning. It's Mrs. Poots, they call this woman. She's in her 90s. Still cleans her own windies. I'm serious. She's an old woman. She's something else, I'm telling you now. When I was 14, 15 years old, she used to preach to me the Word of God. Quote me the Scriptures. She used to say to me, Tom, I want to show you something. She would say, come with me for a moment. And she would take me outside the front door, and she'd say, I want you to read what's above the front door. And above the front door it said, whosoever will. That was on the front door outside. Now she says, come in. And we would come in. She did this regular. Now she says, read on the door on the inside. Now you're in. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Chosen in Him. Before the foundation of the world. She says, when you're out there, it's whosoever. When you're in here, it's elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Chosen in Him. Before the foundation of the world. So when we preach to all. But when we're saved, we know He chose us. And He ordained us out of the world. He loved us so much, He picked you out. He picked you out. And He chose you. And He called you because He loves you. Hallelujah. The Word of God says it. Amen. I have chosen you. I, the Lord, chose you. What's the devil going to do with that? The Lord's chose you. And the Lord's loved you. Greater love is no man than this. Praise God. The whole world lieth in wickedness. 1 Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come, and have given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life through Christ. There's no eternal life only through Jesus Christ. You can't get it through the church. You can't get it through an organization. You can't get it signing or dipping or anything, only through Jesus Christ. Amen. By Christ and by Christ alone, you have this eternal life. But He's loved you and He's chose you and He's given you eternal life. Amen. None have I lost that the Father's given me. None. People talk about somebody's going to be lost. Jesus says He's lost none. Amen. He's lost none. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. To be chosen of Christ is to be called out of the world into His fellowship and kingdom. Now we're in a kingdom. Hear me now tonight. We're in a kingdom. You cannot have a kingdom without a king. When you have a king, you have a kingdom. You have kingdom authority. You have kingdom rule. You have kingdom power. You have kingdom dominion. And we've been born into a mighty kingdom. And Jesus Christ is the king of that kingdom. And He's given us kingdom authority. And He's given us kingdom power. And He says, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Because of this kingdom we're born into, we've received kingdom authority. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, this is like, you know, when you're knighted. You come before the Queen, you kneel down, you're knighted. You've been knighted with King Jesus. Hallelujah. The Revelation says you're kings and priests unto our God.
Amen.
Already. You're not waiting for it. Somebody tells you, do you know a priest tomorrow, brother? Tell him you do. You're looking at one. Amen. Yes. I believe it. Somebody says, do you know a king? Say you do. Surely I'm one. I'm the son of a king. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The word of God says it. Praise God. In this fellowship ye shall be partakers of His suffering. For the world that hateth Him will hate you. The key in spirit, listen to me, the key in spirit that seeks to slay those more righteous than themselves is ever with us. We heard this morning how they're against the gifts of the Spirit.
Right. Yes.
Now I'll give you a message. You can go and listen to this message. Brother Bratton preached a message called Seed of Discrepancy. And in that message he rebukes all that's against the gifts of God and the move of God. He rebukes it and said it's the devil.
Amen.
That's what he says. You can listen to it. Just like we heard this morning, it's the devil that's against the gifts. It's the devil that's against the move of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Yes,
you know, an old preacher, and my father could tell you as well, I'm sure John could, but he used to say, you know, if you get someone up here to speak in an unknown tongue and give an interpretation, then I believe it. You see a fellow like that, I could deceive him very simply. Very, very simply. Could you, brother? It could. Mosito say snazzle narrative. What did I say? None of you know, do you? But I do. I just said to you in Czechoslovakia, you must be born again. So that would have saved that fellow. Now that wasn't tongues, that's a language I learned. But you see, God can do that with somebody without learning it. Like we heard this morning, by the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I tell you, God can do it. You better believe it. I know God can do it. I'll tell you, I've seen it happening where I heard every word they said in English and they never spoke a word in English. How do you explain that? But yet I heard it in English. Hallelujah. God can do it. I tell you, I've read of men of God that went to preach in foreign fields and the missionary refused to interpret what they preached and the power of the Lord came upon them and they preached fluently in the language they never learned, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not one case, it's many recorded through history. Hallelujah. note that tonight, praise God. But isn't it true? But you see, this Cain spirits against the word of God, to be chosen of Christ, to be called out of the world into them. Praise God. Now listen to this here. Let me read you this. This is Israel and the church. Now just look at the spirit hand rose up back there in Cain. How it come on down through Ham, on out through Nimrod into Babylon, out of Babylon, come on down into the days of the coming of Jesus. Teachers, Bible students, and they fail to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? But they claim we're the church. The modern church. You understand what I'm saying here? This is a people that was meant to be the religious leaders when Jesus came and he was the Word. They didn't even know him. They said, we know your father, Joseph. You know, who are you? Who are you? We know your father, but they didn't. If they'd have known his father, they'd have known him. They failed to know his father. They said, we have Moses. He said, before Moses was, I am. Then he says, they quoted Moses, but they did not really believe Moses' message. Because Jesus said, if you had a new Moses' message, you would have knew he's foretold of me coming. You would have knew I was coming. Hallelujah. Just like the spirit of Elijah said, I must decrease, he must, Jesus must increase. That's what the spirit of Elijah said in John. How many knows your Bible says it? It certainly it says it. Glory to God. Listen this now. Down on the day it's coming, Jesus, look. And there they were standing there, polished scholars, holy men, righteous, knowing the word, just every letter of it, and where it was and how it was written, noted by heart, through and through, every scroll and every had to be born in a certain lineage of man or a priesthood to come or a tribe to come out of the priest. Polished scholars, seminary students today would be a back number up besides that bunch, he's saying. Yet fail to know Jesus. And when Jesus come, they were holy men. And Jesus said, you're off your father the devil. And said, you do err, not knowing the power of God, neither the word of God. Could you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ calling a holy, righteous scholar, Bible student, the devil?
Yes.
Could you imagine that? But he done it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But he did. And no, if you go back, you'll find out where it comes from. The Cain spirit is against you. It's against the word of God. Oh, it can quote the word. It certainly can. Didn't Cain look? Cain's father was a real Bible student, wasn't it? How's God said?
Right.
He knew a lot of quotes.
Right.
He could read them from the text.
That's right.
But he was false.
Yes.
Amen.
He was a deformer, not the transformer.
Right.
He didn't have any power of transformation. He just was a deformer. But the power of transformation's in the true word, not the part word. The part word produces a hybrid crop. The new religion that cannot reproduce itself. It goes so far and cannot reproduce because it's not the original spoken word, it's the original seed. Hallelujah! And how it is today, we are chosen out of the world like Noah, that we might perceive from it and become witness against it by faith like Abraham. We must go out. We're not the first ones to come out or to go out.
Amen.
God's called men and women in here out.
Amen.
Just like Abraham, because we're the royal seed of Abraham. We've been called out.
Yes,
not knowing where he went. Glory to God. Can you? You have to picture Abraham. Abraham didn't have all the fine details and know every single thing was going to happen. He had a word from the Lord. That was enough. Sometimes the devil wants you to wonder, what are we doing? We've came out. Where are we going? Never fear. For the one that called us out, able to furnish a table. Hallelujah. In the wilderness.
Amen.
That's the God we serve.
Amen.
Glory to God. Here's another thought. Friendship. I have called you friends. I'll tell you, this is a real friend here.
Amen.
You could have a worldly friend, they'll feel you. I know all about it. They've let you down, wouldn't they? The best person you could come across to fail you, but Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. go to bed depressed tonight. You can go to bed knowing you're a friend.
Amen.
You can do something the world can't do. You can have a conversation with your friend.
Amen.
You can bring all your burdens to the feet of the Lord Jesus. He's your friend. You can console in Him. He will succor you. That means sustain you. You can lean upon Him like John in the Bible. Upon His breast. He's called El Shaddai, which means a strong-breasted one. Hallelujah. And He will sustain you when you lean upon Him. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. He's your friend tonight. I have called you friends. This is verse 15. To be called friends by Him who is God's best friend is an honor indeed. It was a blessed day for Mordecai when he was declared the friend of the king. Now, I haven't got time to go into Esther 6, verse 11. You can read it. But Mordecai was called the friend of the king. Old Naaman came up and he said, what do you think we should do for this fellow? Now the king had already been reading from the book. They realized they'd missed this man of God. They'd missed what he did for God. They'd missed it. And the king knew something would have to be done for this man of God. How many knows the story? You see, and then this other Jekyll Hyde, would that be the right name for this other boy? Who was it made the gallows for? Haman. You see, and he comes in and the king says, what do you think we should do for him? But he was thinking it was himself. This is like Brother John said this morning, the devil oversteps himself.
Yes.
This is the perfect type of it here.
Amen.
And he says, what should we do for him? Well, he needs the king's white garments and the king's horse. And you know the whole story. March him down through the streets and everything. He thought this was him. He was well shot. Well, it wasn't him, wasn't it? Amen. Then took Haman the pearl and the horse and the arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed him before him. Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And it was Mordecai who the king delighted to honor, not Haman. But Haman had built the gallows to slay Mordecai. And the very gallows he built to slay Mordecai, he hung in them. Oh, I tell you, the devil's a lie. I know I'm always saying, I'm always going to, he is a lie. How do you know when he's lying? Every time he opens his mouth. Now listen to this. Now I've used, these are old words, but you'll know what I'm talking about. Servants of kitchen privileges, but friends of parlor opportunities. In other words, this is the highest place in the house you're afforded to. The Lord just didn't give you the back of the teal, but He's given you it all. Nothing have I withheld from you, Jesus said. Nobody said.
Amen.
Nothing have I withheld from you.
Amen.
But I have told you the truth. Hallelujah. And I tell you this, man of God here, Mordecai, the Lord blessed him. The Lord brought him down. He dressed him a type of the believer, dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You can preach a whole sermon on it.
Amen.
It's a wonderful text. But I'm just using it as we go through here tonight just to bring a couple of little thoughts out. Amen. Anywhere in the Lord's house is an honor and a blessing, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Is that what Paul preached?
Yes, amen.
Covet them. There's a lot of people, they want to covet, what their neighbor has. And they get in trouble, but the Lord's wanting you to covet the best gifts.
Amen.
This is the word from the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Amen. He will call you friends if you abide in Him. We know that. Here's another thought. And this from verse 15. Teaching all things I have made known unto you. Verse 15 of our text in chapter 15 of John. He is a great teacher come from God as He sought to instill into the minds of His disciples the things they had heard of the Father. Everything He heard of the Father, He brought it to His disciples. He taught it to them. He showed them in it. So that they would be sustained. So that they would be established. So that when Jesus would go back, He told them, I'm going away, but I will send you another Comforter. Hallelujah. He will lead you. He will guide you into all you want more than a head knowledge, you want this stimulation of revelation.
Amen.
Revelation, stimulation. Amen. And when the Holy Spirit reveals to you by revelation, it brings upon you stimulation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where the Lord reveals something personally to you. Not just to the pastor, or not just to some big name. You know, if you don't hear such in the mind, you won't go on the rapture. If you don't hear this other fellow, you'll never see. What a load of nonsense.
Amen.
None of that. Scripture now, come on. We know it's not. We know that you need to hear the word of God. Now God sent 7 church messengers, not 8. 7. And the 7th one has come and gone, and he said his message will forerun the second coming of the Lord. The message will forerun the second coming of the Lord. So we know the coming of the Lord is nearer than it's ever been before. The coming of the Lord is near. And we need this great teacher, this Holy Spirit, to be upon us. Praise God. He's a great teacher come from God. As he sought to install into the minds of his disciples the thoughts that he heard from the Father. So by the Holy Spirit, he still will make known the will of the Father. For all things are now delivered unto him, and the Spirit takes the things which are his and shows them unto us.
Amen.
God can do it.
Yes.
God can lead you.
Amen.
I'll go one step further. The Word of God says the sons of God are led by the general overseers. No, you don't read that. By the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody, fella, said, you know, a fella asked me recently, he said, you know, how would you think you would go about to pick a man for the work of God? I said, the way it would have to be done, most places couldn't do it. And he looked at me. And I said, look, I'm being really honest about this. I said, you see, God has sent the Spirit of Elijah. In the 20th century, it's a heart-turning spirit. It turns us back to the original apostolic faith, the apostolic message. That's the same as the first church had. So the last day church should be the same as the first day church. And then a prophet comes and said the greatest revelation of all revelations is that God never changes. And he said the revelation the church began on, which was given to Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yes.
Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father's in heaven. He says, this is the revelation the church aims on.
Yes.
The one it started on.
Right. Yes.
Now, how would they pick somebody in the book of Acts for the ministry? Will we have called the deacons and have beaten? No. You don't read any of that. What you read in the book of Acts is that when the people gathered together, that the Holy Spirit came upon men amongst them which were anointed men of God, and they prophesied by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit thus saith the Lord, brother, so and so you're called. That's how it happened in the book of Acts. Do you agree with me? Why introduce something else? I know we have to vote for certain things. I can show you scripture for all that. But I'm talking about a man called for the work. Didn't the Holy Spirit through Agabus take Paul, which was an apostle's girdle, and bound and said, that's saith the Lord, Paul, what he got. A fella said to me one time, he said, there's only 12 apostles. Said there was no more after the 12. I said, are you really sure? Yes, absolutely positive, he says. No more after the 12. I said, well, it's going to leave you sounding very stupid in a moment. Are you sure? Yes. I said, well, Paul's number 13.
That's right.
Paul wasn't with the 12.
That's right.
And I can tell you, matter of fact, when God called would be surprised when you read the book of Acts how many there is that are prophets and men of God. Amen.
Amen.
We want the word of God. Praise God. Listen to this here. Praise God. But God knows that when He is doing as long as He's leading, you see, you must always be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit will always agree with the Word. This is from a message called The Unseen. Now if the Spirit leads you contrary to the Word, then it's not the Spirit of God now. If the Spirit is leading you, it'll say Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or if it doesn't, if it's a religious spirit or some other type of a spirit that is in the Holy Spirit, it'll say it was for a day gone by, not now. And there's nothing they tell us.
Yep.
We don't need these things today. It's for a day gone by. When people preach that which is perfect has come, and when they say the gifts are on the shelf, you know what I tell them, brothers, now? I say, brothers, you're real late for this revelation. Because when I was a wee boy, the brethren were preaching that. The brethren preached that 50 years ago, hundreds of years ago. They preached that. So that's not a new revelation. But I'll tell you what, we know what there is the Holy Spirit for today. Amen. Listen to this. It was for a day gone by. How could you make that act right because it said he's to see him? Oh, I'm so glad to have the Holy Spirit, see? God seen that beforehand. Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll pray the Father that he may send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and he will abide with you forever. Forever. He'll abide with you. The Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. He's with you tonight. Oh, aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, how happy we are to see that. Praise God. To see the Spirit of Truth bearing record with the Word that it is the Spirit of Truth. Then sons and daughters follow it and stay right in the lids of the Bible. Confirm every promise that God has made. Stay right in the lids of the Bible. Not some organization. Here's my other thought. Responsibility. I have chosen you.
Yes.
Never gone well. I won't be long. And it's not even 7 yet. I have chosen you. That's a responsibility. The Lord's chosen you.
Yes.
I want you to bear in mind Jesus never fails. So see, tomorrow when the devil comes to you at your work and starts to tell you how useless you are, I want you for a moment just to tell him the Lord's chosen you.
Yes, amen.
The Lord has chosen you.
Amen.
And God don't make mistakes.
Amen.
So regardless of what the devil thinks of you, he's a liar.
Yes,
he needs to take a look at himself.
Yeah.
He's a liar. He's a father of lies. There's no truth in him. And the Bible says, as if the man had made the nations tremble.
Yeah.
And I read you the other week from Proverbs, where he's going to go down to the pit. He's going to have a funeral, you know. And you see, when he's put in, when he's bound for 1,000 years, that's not the finish, but he's the finish coming after that. God's going to nail him. He's going to wipe him out. Iniquity was found in him. Iniquity. Not just sin, but iniquity. He knew what to do and refused to do it.
Yes.
He's against the truth. That's why he wants to give you as much trouble as he can. He does not want you to talk. Like we heard this morning. He doesn't want you to talk with the things of God. He wants to keep you quiet. His way of doing it is to tell you how bad you are. Well, I'll tell you, he can do all that, but my Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. My Bible says there's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
My Bible says the handwriting of ordinances was against me. They were actually contrary to me, but even so, Jesus nailed them to the cross and took them out of the way.
Right.
That's what my Bible says about me. Speaks better about being you than done about the devil. Amen. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. that ye should bring forth fruit. Having called his disciples friend, and having introduced them and the things concerning himself, he expects them to be something else than mere patients in a doctor's hands. Not just patients, but we need to go to the next stage now. Peter and John weren't just mere patients. Peter and John received power and they imparted it to others. Hallelujah! They were not patients, just they were messengers. Men and women of God. Hallelujah! Go on ripening into fruit for service. A fruitless branch never serves the purpose of the vine. A born Christian profession is a misrepresentation of Christ. That's what it is. Listen to this. Chosen and ordained to bring forth fruit. Verse 13 says it in John 15. You are chosen, not just chosen, but you are ordained to bring forth fruit. In other words, you're going to bear fruit. This is not negative, this is positive. You are going to bear fruit. I'm here to tell you tonight, you're going to bear fruit. I know the devil hates it. Boy, he's a stinker, isn't it? I can sense something, you know. He really, you see, when you give him the word, he comes up with everything. He's a long time at it. But when, like Jack Cole said, Jesus is always too good of an answer. You know, I knew a man once, and his mother called him. She said, "Son, I can't remember what the fruit was, somewhere in America." And she said, "These plants are not growing. The fruit's not growing on them." And she was speaking over them, "They're not growing, they're not doing this, they're not doing that, they're not doing something else, they're not doing this, they're not doing that." He never pruned them or dug around them or anything. No. You know how you hear the stories, dig around them and prune them? That's all good. He didn't do any of that. He just walked through them and spoke over them. He prophesied to the trees. And he told them trees are going to bear fruit. And he told them trees you will bear fruit. He told them the good trees. You blessed trees. You're the trees planted of the Lord. You're going to bear fruit. Not only did he tell them they're going to bear fruit, but he prophesied over them. And he took the scripture, what Paul said, to speak those things that are not as though they were. And he quoted that and he prayed and prophesied over trees in the natural. And he said, "My mother is going to reap fruit of you this year like no other year. The baskets will be overfilled. She'll reap of you this year more than 2 years." And he said that year came round and his mother rang. She said, "No." He said, "Well." And she reaped a harvest of them trees like never before. She said she didn't know how they produced so much. But they've done it. Because the right thing was spoken over them. There's power in the tongue. Power of life. Power of death. I'm going to speak life over you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you're spoke over often enough to be healed, you'll be well.
Amen.
If you're spoke over often enough, help from the devil, you can have it.
Amen.
Just like preaching salvation. If you preach it enough, people will get saved.
Amen.
It has to happen. Because God's word can't fail. Oh, glory to God. I love that wee scripture saying. I call it God keeping an eye on his own word. The Bible says he watches over it to perform it and to bring it to pass. There's not one word will fall. But I, the Lord, watch over it to perform it and to bring it to pass. You know, this is coming strong to my mind. I want you to do this. If you know somebody that needs a touch from the Lord, and you know them and you're with them, I want you to lay your hand upon them. And I want you to tell them, God's blessing you.
Amen.
The Lord's touching you.
Yes, amen.
The Lord loves you.
Amen.
Quote over them. 1 Peter 2, 4, 1 chapter 2, verse 24. He has own self bear our sins in his own body, that we being dead to sins might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. He sent his word and he healed them.
Amen.
Say it so, brother. Say so. Say so. Speak it. Say it. God will do it. God can do it. Go on right now. Praise God. Chosen and ordained to bring forth fruit. Verse 13 says it. If the fruit of the We must have fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you bear fruit. Amen. You know, it's true what a brother John said this morning. If you don't know if you've got it or not, someone's wrong. Good sign you haven't got it. I tell you, when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I knew it all right. My neighbor told my mother, she even knew. Betty came in, she said, "Ray, what was happening last night? An awful shouting. An awful noise going on." I tell you, I waited in my bedroom. I waited upon God. But I want to tell you something, I was serious. I wasn't playing games. I wasn't coming out the front and saying, "Lord, bless me," then going home and doing things I shouldn't be doing. I was serious about it. My garden, there was fellas in my garden, there was things in my garden that I used to do, and I told them boys, I said, "It's all over the day." And I threw my hands up and I said, "I give up, Lord, I'm yours." And they looked at me. Rodney Stewart was one of them. And I went up into the room and I closed the door and I stayed there till I met with the Lord. And I want to tell you, during the night the Holy Spirit visited me. And He spoke the word to me from the Bible. And that word was Isaiah 1 verse 18. And it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." I got a direct invitation from heaven. I took it. And I took it and I prayed. And the power of God came over my body and I spoke in tongues. Hallelujah. I know there's so many people against tongues. And they say tongues is not the evidence. I'm not saying tongues is the evidence, but it is a gift of the Spirit. And we heard this morning when they got it in the Bible, they spoke in tongues. Maybe they're working with a different Bible these days. They are. Lots of people are. You know, but we'll stick with this one.
Amen.
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 Here it is. The sixth thought. Brotherly love. I command you that you love one another. Verse 17. I command you. The Lord is not saying to you, think about it, pray about it. The Lord is telling you to love your brother. To do it. You're told to do it. You are commanded. Just like the Lord commanded you to go forth. Just like any other commandment. This is a commandment from the Lord. Love one another. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says in another place, pray for those that persecute you. No, that's a different scripture. This is loving your brethren. Love each other. Love one another. I command you. Love is the bond. It is the hold His people one to another in the midst the hatred and opposition of this world. Love will hold you together. Love in a marriage will make you come through. You have to love each other. When he does someone that, you know, and he'll look, I wouldn't kid myself for a minute. You think I've never done anything the wife doesn't like? Sure I have. Now I know maybe some of you have never had that experience. Everything you do is just wonderful. Everything he, well, that's not the case. You know, not, we don't fall out too often. I could count in just a couple of fingers in 21 years what we've fallen out. Love one another. And we as the people of God, it's a marriage as well, in the sense that Christ is a husband. You're the wife spiritually. And you love the Lord. And His love's in you. And you love each other. I told a brother recently, you know, I said to them, I said, if your brother hasn't even a coat on his back, and you've got what you can give him one, you don't need to go and pray. And say, "Lord, do you think I should give that fella a coat?" You don't need to pray for it. The Bible commands you go and give him it. Doesn't it? There's certain things we don't need to pray about. We know to do them. If we say we don't, we're hypocrites. We know enough what to do now as believers. And we need to love each other. Pray for each other. Hallelujah. And the husband loves the wife. Christ loves the church. And the wife must reverence her husband. She must have respect for her husband. Not bossing him about, you know, and telling him what to do. But she must love him. She must respect him. Now he's at the ball, you know, be bad to the wife. You ever see a fella didn't love himself? And his wife's going and talking about spend. Some of us spend more time in the mirrors than the women. You know, who puts on aftershave in here? Well, the rest is going to buy some this week. Praise God. I heard a fella, he preached against aftershave. He preached against everything. And he preached, you know, if you wear any of these things, you're attracting the other sex. Some of you need to buy a bottle. Seriously. A fella said to me the other day, if it's these young fellas, he said, you know, they're looking at women. I said, brother, I wouldn't worry about it. Especially in this age. If my boys look at women, I wouldn't be worried. I'd be praising God. That's called nature. That's called natural. But if they look at men, that's the problem. Amen, preacher. That's the truth. But we've got to such a stage in some places. You know, it's ridiculous. Praise God. But the Lord loves you. You love your own body. If you don't, I'll pray for you. You should look after your own body. You should love your own body. And Christ loved the church.
Amen.
Like the husband loves the wife. And the wife, you know, the Bible says that as an example. You love your own body, so you have to love your wife and so forth. And Christ loved the church.
Amen.
Praise God. Not neglect it.
Amen.
The Bible says, does not nature self-teach us? You know, if you're a woman, you have to dress right. Not being tight, keep yourself. You know, there's a certain way to do things. And so is it with a man. It's a testimony. You know, what would happen if I come here next Sunday, and don't wash my face all week? You know, and rip this shirt and stuff. You'll say, what happened to the pastor this morning? He got into a fight before he come up here to the pulpit. Now, if a fella comes in on the street, you know, you love him just the same. But those of us that know what to do, we ought to do it. John Wesley said, cleanliness is next to godliness. He was one of the messengers of the church. Do you believe he was? I believe he was. Cleanliness is next to godliness. My grandmother, the Lord bless you, you know, when she kept us fellas, when my mom went into the house, I'll never forget it, brother. I'm telling you, first thing, the bottle of red soap. The red soap. No, not the fire. Oh, it's a big fire of red soap. What do you call that soap? Light boy soap. Oh, I'll tell you what, Matthew. Come on now. She had you for a week, boy. She had the light boy soap. Every single one of us. Now, seven fellas in our house, one girl. My grandma, my mom went in. Now, you remember, Samuel was the last one, so there's six of us there. Fellas, Ian and them boys can tell you, she gave you a scrub over. I don't mean she gave you a catch like that. She got the bar of soap and the cloth, and she let you have it. And you were shining when she finished with you. But I'll tell you what, that's the way some people are spiritually.
Yes.
They don't, you know, they're afraid to dig into the things of God. They're afraid to really go on it. And you know, we did that naturally. You know, like you hear the cat flick, your face is not washed. All you've done is wet yourself.
Right.
Get yourself a cloth, the bar soap, and get in there.
Right.
Give yourself a real good scrub. This is naturally and spiritually now. Come on, get the picture of it.
Yeah.
And some people say they want the things of God, but they're tiptoeing about.
Right. Yeah.
They're not really good at it.
Yeah.
The people in the world go at it.
Right.
I know people listen. I know Brother Mark can tell you it's the truth. There's people, they work 12-hour days and they still go to the gym for 2 hours a day. They don't miss a moment. Isn't that the truth, brother? They never miss. They're fully committed. But we as Christians so many times are so slack. The least thing keeps us back. We need to go at it. Brotherly love. Let me read you this from a message. Fellowship through reconciliation of the blood. What a title. And how can you fellowship with God when you can't have fellowship with one another? When churches are different and fussing and quarreling and arguing just with churches, how can we expect to love God when we can't love each other? I think it's a time that all the barriers should be broke down. should have one together, one great unit. Getting together. You couldn't get them to do it. But the prophet there said they needed to do it. And I believe tonight we still need to do it. Amen?
Amen.
And you could meet somebody that, I don't care where they go, if you can agree on them and on enough thing of the Bible, stick with it. Don't fuss over things. It's not worth fussing about. Take the positive and agree with it and go forward.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, you'll do the devil harm like that. You won't do him any harm having an argument.
That's
but when you get together, he'll be shaking in his boots. Let's just say, for example, this is natural, I know that, right? Alright. Let's say that I'm up here by myself, and there's three big fellas come in that back door, and they come up to me. And everybody here says, you're on your own, big lad. You're on your own. I can have a good go at it. But if I said, is that right to Steve? I said, George, you come up here. Ian, you come up this way. Mark, come up here as well. Now, do you think them three boys would come up here to tackle me? They wouldn't. They take a look at them boys and they say to themselves, I'll give it a miss. Wouldn't it? But if it seems spiritual, the Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight, two the tens of thousands. Which is the same in a prayer meeting. When you come into a prayer meeting and you bombard the kingdom of God with prayers, the Bible says the kingdom of God suffer violence and the violence taken it by force. We need to pray forceful prayers through the heaven. We need to grip the horns of the altar like old Paisley said. We hear from God. Hallelujah. And agree in prayer. Come into unity in prayer. If a brother's praying, get behind him. Amen, brother. That's the truth God granted. That's how we need to do it. I tell you, God will start to work. And here's my last thought. A message of those with this said, promise. I will send you. Verse 26. And I'm closing everything. I will send you. We heard John finish on it this morning. I'll send you. Amen. Well, I'm glad the church never sent me. I'm glad the Lord sent me. I'm not depending on someone. Now, I appreciate everybody that supports. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about there was no organization sent me.
Amen.
When I went to the organization and I said, you know, I feel the call of God, they laughed at me. Who was I? Nobody. But Jesus is everybody.
Amen.
Jesus is everybody. Amen.
Amen.
I'll send you, brother. The Lord says, I'll send you. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Jesus was sent.
Amen.
He'll send you. You think of it, when he sends you, he'll be with you. A friend that sticketh close to the little brother.
Yes,
I'm telling you, see some of you young fellas, God could just call you. You never look at somebody and think to themselves, well, they could never do it. You never think like that. Because God can take the foolish things of this world and confound them out of it. God can call a young man in here and a young woman and send them forward. God can do it. And you might say, I don't know how it's ever going to happen. Well, answer me this one. The fellow in jail, he's in jail, he's away from God, he's backslid, he's involved in all sorts of stuff. How could God make that man a preacher and send him around the world? But God done it. You never live in God. You never look at your loved ones and say they're too far out. God can still reach them. Never look at sickness and say they're not going to be healed. God can still heal them. We had a condition. And I'm closing. We had a terrible condition. We inherited it. It was sin. And that sin was universal. Because of what Adam did, brought universal condemnation. But there was another man came from heaven. And he brought universal justification. And I'll tell you what, we might have borne the image of the earthly, but we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And the sin did abide, grace did much more abide. God gave us a remedy for sin. And the same God that gave us a remedy for sin gave us a remedy for sickness and disease. Because healing's in atonement. And if God, under the old covenant, and under the bullock, the turtle dove and the pigeon, could say to his prophet Moses, take the brass serpent and raise it up, and when the people spit him with the serpent and the and for all, and it pleased God.
Hallelujah.
No other offering needs to be offered, and then he said, it's finished.
Amen.
In other words, it's done, it's completed.
Amen.
Christ done it for you. There's a remedy tonight. There's medicine in the bottle.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Here it is. Lay it upon it and believe it tonight.
Amen.
And God can do it.
Amen.
I want you to believe God tonight. Don't be afraid to lay your hands on somebody.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to put your hand upon them and pray. Don't you wait for some man of God coming by.
Amen.
You do it.
Amen.
You believe God. You heard this morning, I believe it's the word of the Lord. God wants you to speak. God wants you to use your tongue. The Holy Spirit will be with you. The Holy Spirit will never leave you. He promised it. I believe it. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's believe God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, one of the times I went to Africa, and it was a hard trip, one of them ones I went on. I injured my leg, I wasn't going to go, you remember that. And I had to pay for everything, I wasn't happy with all the things. But why I'm telling you that, this is why. I said as a young man in this service, would you feel the call of God? And there was young men that came forward, and one of them young men today serving the Lord. And he's a pastor of a church. And he sends me so many testimonies, baptizing people and everything.
Amen.
And he went away out to another country and everything. He left that country in Africa. He went away out, he met a young woman, they got married, the Lord's blessed him. And he's went out with the work of God. And God's using him. And I'll tell you, it's one thing when you go, but when God raises up other men with that, and they go forward, isn't our God wonderful?
Amen.
If you're very sincere tonight, and I'm going to pray and we're going to close, you would want prayer tonight, just slip your hand up to the Lord, every eye's closed, every head bowed.
Amen.
God bless you, God bless you. I want you to believe. I want you to believe God tonight. One sister, I want to say this. I want you to start praying that God will change that man's footsteps and make him walk a different way.
Yeah.
There's another one I want you to have faith and lay hands on. I want you to pray in faith and God will do it. God can't fail. He could swear by no greater.
Yeah.
By no greater. He swore by himself. He's bound to his own word by an oath. Bound to it. It can't feel. Oh, praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before thy holy countenance tonight. And how we humbly come before you. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you said that we would call upon you in the time of trouble. You would deliver us. And show us great and mighty things that we don't even know about. Lord, we call upon your name tonight.
Amen.
Father, you see the hands raised, you know the names. Lord, I pray in every situation. Lord, that you'll touch my brother and heal him. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for that young man, that you'll change his footsteps and cause him to walk aright and come into the house of the Lord in Jesus' precious name. Lord, you're the God that lifted Philip and transported him and set him on the chariot with an Ethiopian eunuch, and he preached Christ unto them. You transported him supernaturally. You're the God that came upon your servant and he ran before the horses for many miles. You're that same God that sustained Elijah with a cake and a cruse of bread for 40 days. The same God fed him. And the ravens brought him the fresh meat. Lord, you're that same God that when Elijah went up and the chariots and the whirlwinds of fire and his mantle fell, that Elisha took it up and he smote the waters and he said, where be the Lord God of Elijah? Lord, where is the Lord God of Elijah tonight? I believe this Father, I pray for every hand that's reached in this room, that Lord, you'll answer prayers for your people, that you'll step down, as it were, by the mighty moving of thy power, and touch and heal and deliver in Jesus' precious name. Father, confirm your word tonight with signs and wonders in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Stretch forth thy arm and make it burn salvation and deliverance of men and women's souls in Jesus' precious name. Father, we claim all of our loved ones tonight. We claim our sons, we claim our daughters, we claim every husband, we claim every wife under the blood of Jesus Christ. We say to the enemy, go back in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you tonight in Jesus' name. Father, thou bless us, I pray. Lord, I pray for those needing work. Get them a real good job. Bless them, prosper them, undertake for them. Pray for the young men and women in this meeting house, that you bless them and prosper them, that all will be well, that the next report they hear will be good.
Yes.
Oh, Father, grant it this evening in Jesus' name. Move upon these young men. Oh, God, raise up preachers amongst them, and evangelists, and prophets, and apostles, and men of God, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Father, this evening, part us with thy blessing.
Yes.
That maketh rich and addeth no sorrows, till we would meet or thou would come or call.
Yes.
Bless the song leader as he comes. Bless your own people. And have thy way, I pray. Lord, help this preacher to preach the truth. Keep us on the straight. And keep us in the middle. With a gospel truth in Jesus' precious name, I pray.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one of you. Praise God. As a brother Gary comes, God bless you. Wednesday night, 7:30.